glad we're liberated and we don't have to wear dresses and hose and all that. So I was digging through anyway. I won't go into all that. But my grandmother, going back to my grandmother, she was such an awesome lady. When she was young, she had to wear a corset. And she said she was tall and thin and didn't need a corset, but she had to wear one anyway. So when I got big and bigger, you know, everything, we had to wear girdles. And so this is a little personal, but anyway, when Fred and I got married, I'm putting on my girdle to get ready for church, to get my clothes on. He said, "Why are you wearing that?" And I said, "Well, because you're supposed to, and I got to have it on. I got my hose here." He said, "All it does is make the fat go the other direction." And he said, "You don't have to do that." So I threw it away and never put it back on. I was a liberated woman. That was so neat. But you guys remember that? If you're probably too young to remember those horrible days. But now I'm so grateful that we can wear pants to church. And I do believe we should be modest and remember that we're Christians. But, you know, we can wear pants, we can wear jeans, we can be comfortable. And so I think that's a good thing. But I felt led today that I should dress up. And thank you guys. You were very kind. 1 Peter 3:20 says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that you should follow in his steps, in Jesus' steps. And this is what we do. We are to do. If we're supposed to be the best parent, then we have to follow in Jesus' steps. If we follow in his steps, everything's going to be okay, all right? It's going to be good. So I just have these, I kept listening to things on the radio this week about fathers. And a long time ago, we were on the road, and you guys might have heard this story before, but it was such a good example. We were traveling somewhere, I think it was in Louisiana. We're listening to talk radio, and there was this Christian woman psychologist. And this guy had called in, and he said, "You know, my wife and I are divorced. We have a daughter, and I'm able to be in her life as much as I want to. And, you know, and we have a wonderful relationship. But I have this thing that's come up. I can move to another state, and I'll make a lot more money. What should I do? But I won't be able to see my daughter as much as I used to." And the lady said, "Don't go anywhere. Stay there. Raise your daughter. Be there for her. When she's in college, do whatever you want to. But right now, your place is with your daughter." And I thought that was such, wasn't that awesome advice? And, you know, it costs something to raise children, but it's worth it. In the end, you've got those roses, amen, that you can be so proud of. So I thought, I said, "Oh, man, I hope he did that. I hope he just, you know, said, I'm going to stay here in this town. I'm going to be here for my daughter, and she's going to be so happy that I did that, amen." There was a father who took his son fishing. They went fishing all day. And at the end of the day, they didn't catch anything. And in his notebook that night, he sort of kept a journal. He said, "Wasted day, didn't catch a thing." His son wrote, "Best day of my life. I spent the whole day with my daddy." And so see, all he wanted is time with his daddy. He didn't care if he caught fish or not. You know, and what this guy said, love is spelt time. Love is spelt time. Give your children time. And I always tell my children this, you know, if they don't want things, they want you. You don't have to spend a fortune on them. All they want is you. When I was in Seattle and was a young mother, I used to take my kids to the park. We'd walk down to the park, and we would have such a good time. And then we moved back to Florida. We would go to the creek. We would go to the lake. We would spend all day there, and we had so much time. Did you have fun, Paul?
Very nice.
Yeah. And so, and when I was a young girl, we worked in the field. We worked really hard. But we had that reward. We went to the creek. We went to the pond. We went to Munson Lake. And we had such a good time. And it cost my family nothing, you know. And they didn't have much anyway. But what I'm talking about is you can, your kids can have a great time with you and it not cost a lot of money. Or they want you. That's what they want. They want to look back and say, "I remember going fishing with Daddy. I remember doing this with Daddy, with Mom." And this is what is so important to children. They need you. They don't need things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Another, okay. A man found out, he just got out of the service, and he found out he had cancer. And so he and his wife were at the doctor's office. And the doctor said, "I have really bad news. You have stage 4 cancer. And he held his wife's hand really tight. And they went back to the motel that day, that night, and he couldn't sleep. Finally, he fell asleep, and he felt something on his face. And he reached up and opened his eyes because he thought it was his wife comforting him in the middle of the night. And he looked up, and it was Jesus. And Jesus looked over at him and said, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." And he was just filled with love, just love. And it was okay. And he said, after all of that, several years later, they have a child. And he's holding this baby boy. And he said, "I know how Jesus felt. I felt like he must have felt. Loving me." And so that's what, you know, it's all about. Loving that child. Loving that child. Taking time with him. Taking time with her. Amen. Because you're not going to get a lot of time. Pretty soon, that little boy, that little girl's going to be gone. And they're going to come home to visit mom and dad, but it's not going to be the same. They're going to have their own lives. So take that quality time now. Amen. Amen. Because you're going to turn around and they're going to be grown. And you're going to say, "Why didn't I do that when they wanted me to run down to the bay and go swimming?" So, you know, take that time. Take that time that they need. There's a story in the Bible. And this is a very familiar story. And it's about a son. They were two boys. And the baby boy went to his daddy and said, "Hey, I want to get out of here. I hear that in Louisiana they're doing lots of fun things, and I'm stuck here in Milton, Florida, and I really want to get my inheritance now. I want to go have fun." And so his daddy does it. I'm sure his daddy tried to talk him out of it. You know, "Let's think about this, Dad." "No, son, no," he had to go. So the father let him go. So the son went, and man, it was everything he thought. Boy, did he have fun. He had so much fun. He had so much friends. He did everything he couldn't do at home. There's no way to watch him. Man, he was grown up, had lots of fun. But you know what happened? Everything fell apart. He lost his job. He lost his friends. He lost everything. He was so miserable. He was so miserable. He said, "Oh, my gosh." He finally got a job at a pig farm. And he thought, "Man, I'd eat this pig slop if I could, because I am so hungry." But there was nobody that cared. There was nobody that cared. And so he was just really so sad. He was sitting there thinking, "Oh, my gosh." And one day he thought, "Oh, my gosh, I can go home. Maybe if I went home, maybe my daddy would let me be a hired servant. If I go home, maybe he'll just let me be there. I'll just go and tell him, 'Daddy, I'll just be a hard servant. I'll be a hired servant in your house. I don't want to be a son. I don't deserve to be a son if you'll just let me come home.'" So he starts heading home, and he's a mess. And he goes, before he gets home, though, he finds a creek, so he washes up the best he can. And he gets home, and he says, you know, he's sort of scared. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But you know what happened? You know what happened because you know the story. The daddy has been looking for him the whole time. He's been looking for this boy. It says before that, and this is so awesome, it said the boy came to his senses. Isn't that an awesome time when we come to our senses? We think, yes, don't you know? Isn't it happy when that happens? Isn't that awesome? So the father sees his boy that he's been praying for every day, every day, every day. And he runs to the boy, and the boy runs to his daddy. And the boy says, "Daddy, I'm not worthy to be your son. If you'll just let me be a hard servant." He said, no, you're my son. You're my son." And he brings him home, and he kills a fatted calf, and he puts his robe on, and he puts a ring on his finger, and he reinstates him into the family. Isn't that what God does to us? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And we're all that prodigal son. We're all that prodigal son. We've all been there. Amen. Amen. And the neat thing about it, though, is this boy, because of his upbringing, this boy came to his senses. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an awesome story? There's a story, too, about, and this is all in Luke 15. There's a story, too, about a good shepherd. And this shepherd loved being a shepherd. He had 100 sheep. He had 100 sheep. And he took care of his sheep. And one day, one of them wandered off. And all of a sudden, he says, he runs to his neighbor and he says, "Watch my sheep. I've got to go find the one. This has wandered off." And so he runs and he finds his sheep and he's so happy. He takes it home and the whole town celebrates. They just have a great time because his sheep was lost and now it's found. And that's like us. Isn't that awesome that we have a Heavenly Father that even though we might wander off, He runs to find us. Amen. He's there for us. Amen. He loves us. He loves us. And this is like us. We always can come home. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We can always come home. We can always come home. In Proverbs 22, 6 through 15, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Amen. We know that verse really well. Train up a child. And what does that mean, to train up a child? That means to invest in that child. That means to take time with that child. That means to show that child the way to go. That means to discipline that child. That means that you're going to have to spend a lot of time with this child. Amen? Amen. You're going to have to spend a lot of time with this child so that when he grows up, he will be able to accept responsibility. He will be able to be a good citizen. Isn't that what we want? We want our children to grow up to be good citizens, to be mature adults. Isn't that what our Heavenly Father wants us to be? Mature children? Amen. We want to grow up and be good. So it says, behold, children are a heritage of the Lord. They are supposed to be a blessing, not a curse. Amen. So sometimes you wonder, but amen. But all in all, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And it says that God wants to be that example, and He is that example. If we'll just turn to Him, we'll just turn to Him. In Malachi, the fourth chapter, at the very end, God says something really awesome. And if you read, as a matter of fact, I got into Malachi, and then I wandered way into Malachi, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I got to get back on my thoughts because I'm wandering off. I do this a lot. I wonder. But anyway, if you don't have anything to do, you're bored, you watch TV, and you're just sick of it all, get into Malachi. That is a good book. And it's the very last of the Old Testament. And the neat thing about Malachi is that between Malachi and Matthew, there's a 400 gap. 400 years, God doesn't say anything. There's no prophetic word. God doesn't say anything to Israel. And then all of a sudden, guess who comes on the scene? John the Baptist, Jesus. But John the Baptist, and he comes preaching. What does John the Baptist come preaching? Repentance. Repentance. And so Jesus and the whole New Testament begins right there. Amen. So just read Malachi. Read it and get what it says. It says a really neat little book there. But anyway, in Malachi, let's turn there as a matter of fact for it. I don't even have my Bible up here. Just have my notes. Malachi. I think that Dana would probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that with Malachi, Nehemiah, Ezra, all these guys, and they came back to Israel, they set up the kingdom, and they never left again. The Israelites never went into adultery again. They served God, but they became very, very legalistic during this time. They had the law, and they lived by the law. But they sort of forgot God's love and God's. So what, by the time we get into Matthew, after that 400 years, they are very, 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 very legalistic. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus comes, He tells them, you know, the law is good, but you've made it tough. You made it so legal. People can't do it. They can't do it. Amen. So anyway, let me share. At the end of Malachi, this is really a wonderful promise of hope and peace. This is a wonderful promise. And I wonder if we're not almost there, because Malachi, the fourth chapter, starting with the fifth verse, behold, I send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, this is going to be a great day, but it's also a dreadful day. It says, and he will turn. Now, this is the promise. And he will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. Isn't that an awesome promise? Amen. And I believe we're entering in this time because I believe that we're facing this dreadful day of the Lord. Have you read the news lately? Are we not in that dreadful time? I don't know how more dreadful it could get. But anyway, he says, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I am sorry. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their father. Lord, we thank you that this time is here. And pray as a church, pray that this takes place. that the hearts of the that these hearts will be turned to each other. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to share that. Also, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. You say, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? This is a lot of hard work. Plus, how do I be that type of person? Well, God always gives us the answer. And the answer is in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We're going to start here at the 4th verse. So how long have I been talking, guys? Not very long. You know, that, wonderful. Somebody was saying, is she as long as Paul? No. The difference in me and Paul is a teacher. Teachers teach. You don't teach in a 15-minute session, right? Dana, you were a teacher. When you teach, you teach. When you expound, you expound. I think I'm an exhorter. I think I'm an exhorter. Somebody exhorts, and that's what I'm doing. Amen. But anyway, also, since I do the pastor's corner, I have to do it in like two paragraphs or less. So that's how I think. After the two paragraphs are gone, I'm gone. Like, whoa. What did we do last week? Okay. But anyway, God gives us directions on how to do all this. He just doesn't say, be a good father, be a good mother. But he gives us his word, which is what we're supposed to follow. Now, there is a lot of advice, and I have a lot of scripture. But I promised Rhonda I wouldn't be real long. No, I'm teasing. We have wonderful people that work in the nursery, and it's a wonderful way to be blessed. I tell you, God's going to bless those that bless the little children. Right, Ellen? Amen. Amen. He says, suffer the little children. So God looks at these little ones, and they're so cute. Seth and Caleb back there, they're like these little personality people. They're so cute. And God says, if you bless those little people, I'm going to bless you. So it's a great honor, really. It's a great honor. But anyway, God always gives us directions. And I want to say that, like Paul was talking about, if perhaps you didn't have the perfect daddy, I did. Janice did. But, you know, whatever your father was or wasn't, you know, let God heal that. Let him heal that because he wants to. Because I don't think that most dads or moms plan to be, you know, maybe not the perfect mom or dad. You know, I'm just going to be a real rotten father or mother, and they're going to hate my guts, but that's the way I want it. No, they don't start out that way, amen? But in the natural, we are selfish people, and we produce little selfish people. So, amen? And God has to work at making us into the person that he wants us to be, amen? So it takes a long time. Jesus said that we are to die daily. It takes a lifetime to die. Amen. You know, you think it's quick. It's really not quick. It takes a long time because God has to get a lot of stuff out of us that we have got in us. But he's very patient. He's very kind. And then he gives us the very steps to take. And this is in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Listen to this. It says, love suffers long. If you're a parent, you're going to suffer a long time. Let's just get that through your head. But that's okay. You do it willingly. You love that little person. You're willing to suffer a long time. And then it goes into grandchildren and then great-grandchildren. You never stop praying. I tell you, what do people that don't have children pray about? You know, hopefully they pray for us that have children, huh? Pray for that poor soul over there. She needs lots of prayer. Because I tell you, they keep you on your knees. And I was so blessed, you know, prayer is so important. You're not going to make it if you don't pray. And I was sharing this yesterday at the family thing. We were each supposed to talk about things that were important to us growing up. And this was not my grandmother. I'm going to get on a little rabbit trail here. But this was not my grandmother, but we called her Granny Pardon. She was my first cousin's grandmother. And we would go after church, we would go home and play paper dolls. Did you guys ever play paper dolls when you were little? And because we didn't have a lot of money, we had a Sears catalog, so we had an endless supply of paper dolls. We just cut everything, and we had such a good time. And so I would go home with Chiquita, and also in those days, a lot of houses, they would have like two double beds in a bedroom. I'm not quite sure why, but I remember that I would be, Chiquita and I, my first cousin and I would be playing paper dolls over here on this bed, and we'd be there, and Granny Pardon would be over here. And she would be on her knees praying. And it was such a natural thing for Granny Parn to be praying and these two little girls to be playing paper dolls. And later on, many years later, I was thinking about Granny Parn. And I was thinking, I wonder how many times she prayed for those two little girls that were playing paper dolls. Maybe I'm here today because of Granny Parn. And my sister that was older than I and cousins that were older, she would get them. She was blind. And she had been deserted by, anyway, somehow, I don't know if her husband had died, but she had ended up at my uncle's house where she lived until she died. And she was blind. And so she couldn't read the Bible anymore, obviously, but she would get one of the cousins, one of the granddaughters to read. And they would read, and when they made a mistake, she would correct them. And they all remember this. She was such an awesome lady. I don't know if she ever owned anything in her whole life except the clothes on her back. I don't know what because she lived with my aunt and uncle. But she was a rich lady, indeed. Oh, I know. She had, when they took her, the undertaker came to take her away. He said, I never saw callous knees like this. How did she get such callous knees? It's because she was on her knees praying all the time. I mean, can you imagine having a witness like that? I mean, it makes you feel like, oh, my gosh. You know, I get on my knees and I can hardly get up. And I'll just walk down the hall and pray. But this was such a wonderful thing that happened to me as a child. And these things are so important. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Well, one of the things, we were raised in church, obviously. My father was a very healthy man, and I knew that unless he died or something, we'd be in church, and we were always in church. But when I was a little girl, and I couldn't have been very old because I was probably maybe 3 or 4, we had preachers that would come by to preach revivals, and they would preach hellfire and brimstone. I mean, we knew that if we didn't repent, we were sliding right there. And I don't know what I did at that age, but I knew I had to go down and repent. And I did. I went to the altar. And that night, I slept with my daddy, and Benny slept with Mama. And we had two beds in that bedroom. But anyway, Daddy told me how proud he was of me. And I never forgot that. I felt so proud that he was proud. I didn't know, you know, so every time after guess who ran down to the altar? I just hooked it, you know, this is a big thing. You know, this is what daddy wanted. So, you know, just growing up in that atmosphere, I was so fortunate. You know, we're not talking about perfect parents here, but we're talking about parents that love Jesus. And that's all we need to do. Love Jesus. Follow his commandments. Amen. Follow his footsteps. And I know that you guys do that. So anyway, going back to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it says in the 4th verse, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Isn't that a neat thing? And is kind. How many of us just have trouble being kind to our husbands and wives, much less anybody else? As a matter of fact, it's a lot easier to be kind to Joe Blow down the street than to be kind to your wife or husband. We need to be kind to each other. Let's just start being kind, and then we'll work into love. Amen? Yeah, so let's be kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Amen? Love does not envy. We're not going to be jealous of the neighbors next door. We're not going to be envious of what they have or they don't have. We're going to be grateful that God has blessed them. Amen? Amen. Nobody is jealous of James's new Jeep. Amen. Oh, everybody's jealous. Everybody's jealous. I know. As a matter of fact, when James comes pulling up with his Jeep, I said, I hope PJ doesn't see that. And okay. After church, everybody can line up, and James will whip you guys around. But anyway, we are glad that James has that Jeep because he's already said that instead of us having to pay money to get people pulled out of our mud hole back here when it rains 60 days straight, he's going to do it for free. Amen. We had this guy, and he was in, what was he in, Paul? And I meant the guy that came that got stuck back here. Yeah, well, anyway, I'm taking Sister King home, and Paul calls me and says, you need to come back to the church. Something's happened. He says, this brother has pulled up, and as he comes around, zipping around the corner, Paul's telling me, don't do that, don't do that. Well, he comes around anyway, gets stuck, this RV in the mud back here. And Paul says, what do we do, Mom? I need, you know, I got to get the deacons, I got everybody's approval. We got to get this guy out of here. He might stay. You know, this guy's a wandering preacher. And so anyway, I think Paul calls Rick real quick or whoever and says, do whatever you had to do, Paul. Well, we got the guy here. You know, everybody pulls one of those things out. So anyway, we get him pulled out. Bless his heart, the reason he stopped in the first place is he needed gas. And so everybody's gone. Paul's the only one here. So he's, Paul, what do we do, Mom? I said, well, we're going to call you. He said, I think we should call the U-Haul. So he does. Anyway, we get him out. We get some money for him to get gas so he can go on his way. So that's what James is talking about. So he said, I got this. I don't know. Could you pull out a U-Haul or a motorhome or whatever that thing is? So anyway, that was one of the little incidents that happens. So anyway, today, if you get stuck in the mud, we have someone that can take care of it. The whole story there. Okay, it took a long time. So we are happy. Besides, it's really cute, isn't it? Isn't that the cutest? Oh, I know Sandy McClary. She's, I've been wanting one of those forever. Do you have several that we can buy more? Do you know? Oh, okay. We know where we can get them. James knows where we can get. We can all get one. Anyway, it says, okay, it says, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. In other words, we're not supposed to be proud. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Okay, listen to this, guys. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Wow, that covers a lot, doesn't it? Amen. So remember, you know, when you're in that heated argument, that love endures all. Amen. Amen. Love never fails. Isn't that an awesome thing? Love never fails. Now, we're talking about God's love here. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about God's love. And how can we refer this back to our Heavenly Father? Doesn't He love us like that? Amen. Hasn't He suffered long for us? Doesn't He show His kindness every day? Doesn't He love us? He bears us? He believes in us. He hopes in us. Amen. So it says, love never fails. Pursue love. So that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. If we follow the example of Jesus, if we walk as Jesus walked, then it's going to be okay. Amen, Cindy. Everything's going to be good. So as parents, go back to my notes. Parents is a lifetime job. When you're holding that beautiful little boy in your hands, like my little great grandson back there, this is until death do we part, amen. And that's what Jesus did for us. It was until death do we part. He paid the full price so that we can be here today, so that we can be the parents that God has called us to be. And when Jesus, I was thinking about this, when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan. And he came up out of the water. The dove descended on him. And there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that what we want to hear? We want to hear the Father say, I'm well pleased with you. Years and years ago, I heard, you know, on ABC. On ABC on Friday, the news thing, they would have a special guest or they would a special person. And a person of interest or somebody. But anyway, that particular Friday, they had Billy Graham. And I was, you know, sitting there listening to it. And this guy was asking Billy Graham, you know, how was his ministry? How did it all work out and all this stuff? And he was really, you know, and in the end, I thought this guy said, when you go to heaven, Mr. Graham, he said, what is the first thing you want to hear? And I thought that was so neat because I knew exactly what Billy Graham was going to say. Amen. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what he wanted to hear. Isn't that what we want to hear? Amen. Don't we want to hear our Father say that he is pleased with us? He is pleased with you? And that's what I want to hear. Amen. We're here for that reason, aren't we, Cindy? So we can hear Jesus say, well done. So we hear our Heavenly Father. And we have a Heavenly Father that will never stop loving us. He will never stop caring for us. And that he said, when he said, for God so loved the world, he meant it. He meant it. Amen. So he gives us these perfect examples. And fathers, I think you guys are doing an awesome job. I am so blessed to know wonderful men in my life. I have been so blessed to have wonderful men in my life, have wonderful sons in my life. And I can almost truthfully say that I've never met a mean, ornery, spiteful, maybe. No, not really. What they need is a lot of prayer. Amen. Just keep praying, guys. Just keep praying. Pray for one another. That's the secret. Pray for one another. But anyway, I love you guys. I'm not going to just go on and on and on. But remember, in closing, my last closing, I promise, is that your children are going to be exactly as you are. You're going to produce after your own kind. So if you call the police as they go by a pig, guess what your kids are going to call you? They're going to follow in your footsteps, just like we're supposed to follow in Jesus. So what is important to you will be important to them. What they see you doing, they're going to want to do. And they're going to do it. And then you're going to say, "Ooh, I wish I didn't." Have you ever said something in front of your children and you think, "Ooh, I wish I hadn't said that." And even had to go back and apologize that I wish I hadn't said that. So, you know, we're walking examples. They're watching us. They're watching us. What is it that they say? You should live your life in as few words as you can. Let them see you, and they'll. So we want to walk upright before the Lord. Amen. We want to walk upright before the Lord. Father, we just thank you for our fathers today. We thank you for your children today. Lord, we thank you that you have given us godly fathers that are willing to lay down their lives, that are willing to pay the price, and that when their children grow up, they will do the same. Father, we want to produce after you. We want to produce after our Father, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we want to have those attributes that you have. We want to see you. We want our children to see, to be like you, Father. We want them to see that commitment in us. Lord, we ask that you forgive us today of our sins. Help us, Lord, to walk righteous before you all the days of our life. Lord, when it's over at the end, say, this was a godly woman. This was a godly father. This was a godly mother. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you that you chose us. We thank you that we are yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, I speak blessings. I speak healings. I speak your very presence in the life of your people today. In Jesus' name, keep us safe, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, love you guys.